The following message by Pastor Bob Sheridan is brought to you by the ministries of Palos Bible Church. For more information, please visit palosbiblechurch.com.
Well, we want to move into a new series, and that series is going to be going to the Old Testament book of Joshua. Old Testament book of Joshua. It's interesting. Pastor Josh was in my office, and we were talking about something, and he, with his peripheral vision, ended up just looking and saying, "Wait, do you have me preaching?" I said, no, not yet. This is the book of Joshua, not Pastor Joshua." So, but that's a good way to remember the series that we're in the midst of going through, and there will be opportunities, I'm sure, that Pastor Josh will be involved with what we're going to do and be able to share together. So today I really want to take on a general question, and that is, why the book of Joshua? And in it is this core question that I want you to get in the habit of being able to ask anytime you open up the Word of God. Lord, why is this here? My God makes no mistakes. There are reasons why He has given to us what He has given to us. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It was breathed out by God because God knew what we needed. Why aren't there 77 books? Seven's the perfect number. Why aren't there 100 books? Because God has given us 66. Deal with it. But also recognize that there's purposes in everything that He has given to us. And to slow down and to think it through as to, Lord, what is there that You want me to glean as I end up covering this book? It's an important question, and we want to ask it every time that we come to something. I think about specifically today and what we're going to cover. First of all, what are we not going to cover? Okay, I'm just going to take a moment and share with you. Anybody know this song? It's number 651 in the hymn book, you know? On Jordan's stormy banks I stand. You know the song, don't you? Good, because I think if I kept on singing it, you'd go, I knew it differently. but that song ends up talking, I am bound for the promised land. And what the author of the song has chosen to do is to focus on the promised land as being heaven. And it's the end. Isn't that great? You know, you go through the 40 years in the wilderness with all the struggles of life is the thinking that the author had. And then you step over and, it's all over. I need you to know that though the song, and just recognize it has a different purpose in mind. It's focusing on heaven. It's really not the way I want you to be thinking about the promised land. I want you to be recognizing that there are things we're going to learn as we study that are applicational truth to our todays. I know it's Old Testament. I understand that. And we'll end up talking about some uniquenesses of things to the Jews. But does God change? So things that I could learn about God are the same in the Old Testament as they are in the New Testament. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Good for you. I appreciate that. So as we move through this book of Joshua, I want you to understand that though this song is fine in its own way, it's not where we're going. The author of this song wanted very much to be focusing on heaven, and heaven's a real place, and we'll end up talking about it, but it's not where we're going to go in our series together. What we're going to find in our study is that uniquely, as you look at the books of the Bible, and by the way, does this look familiar to you, this chart? Because there were a number of them that were up on walls around this church for a number of years, because there was a time where I became aware that there's a lot of people that don't know the books of the Bible. As we enter into 2020, if you are one of those people, would you, before God, set a goal, Lord, help me, I want to learn the books of the Bible. I want to know where they're at. I want to be involved, being able to learn so much. But Father, help me to be able to understand what you have given to us. What we find uniquely with the book of Joshua is that it's in a very unique place. You got the first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, the Pentateuch. And from Exodus all the way through the book of Deuteronomy, you have one human character that has been unique, and his name is Moses. Well, Moses dies. What's going to happen now? Book of Joshua is going to help us with that. It also uniquely ties together what has taken place as there's been an anticipation of the promised land to all of a sudden we come to the book of Judges and we see that they're in the land, but they're not taking the parts of it that are assigned to each of the 12 tribes. There's failure, there's struggles, there's problems. There's people depending on themselves. Well, how do you get to that place from Deuteronomy? And the answer is the book of Joshua is a key book that brings us together, that connects Deuteronomy, where the children of Israel are in the wilderness, with a time in which they find themselves in the land together with responsibilities that are given to them. Hey, would you do me a favor? Go with me to Exodus. Exodus chapter 3. Don't have time to go through a review of Genesis and all that is there, but in the book of Exodus, we find the children of Israel find themselves in Egypt in bondage. God chooses to use Moses. Moses ends up coming to a burning bush in Exodus chapter 3, and we pick it up. Let me pick it up in verse 7. The Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. For I know their sorrows. Verse 8. This is Exodus chapter 3, verse 8. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up from that land to a good and large land, to a place flowing with milk and honey. Question, Payless Bible Church. Who is going to bring them out of Egypt? You were paying attention to the context. Because everyone is going to answer, Moses. Who is going to bring them into a land of milk and honey? So what you find in Exodus chapter 3, verse 8, are two promises that God makes. Why the book of Joshua? Because in Joshua, we learn how God answers and fulfills his word. Is that important? You bet it is. Because every day, you and I, we live and we struggle based on whether or not we're willing to trust and follow and believe the promises of God, or if not, I got to do it. And I want you to know, you and I can't do it. We can't do it. Some of us, we have been learning that lesson the hard way. Because you have a tendency to think, God, I got this one. I can handle it. When in point of fact, without him, we can do what? Do you ever think how often we've quoted that passage in John chapter 15? Without me, Jesus said, you can do nothing. Why does it come up so often? Because we try to do it ourselves. You know what I mean? It shouldn't be that way, but I'm not going to stand here and tell you, oh, I never struggle in that way, because it is our tendency. It is our humanness. You follow that? What God wants us to be trusting Him. And how powerful is my God? He is all powerful. He is able, more than able, to accomplish what concerns me today. We need to trust, but the book of Joshua is a link that helps us to be able to deal with that concept. Joshua, a part of God's plan. God, does he really keep his word? Yes, he does. There's an unchangeable principle of life. We find there's a tendency of mankind to be in bondage. We start out and we're born in trespasses and sins, and we're born in bondage. And what is God's desire? It is that we would come and we would trust Him and we would find forgiveness and we would no longer be in bondage. Amen? The children of Israel had been in bondage, and they were brought out of Egypt with a strong and mighty hand. No, not Moses. You with me? Y'all try. I don't want anybody going back saying, I thought Moses was involved. He is involved, okay? I don't want to mess you up. I just want you to know, where was the power? Always. Always. We don't put human beings on pedestals. Moses. And we're not going to go, Joshua. We're going to recognize that what gave Moses the ability to do what he did, because he learned how to trust God. I find in the Old Testament, we learn this, Moses at a point in time was the meekest man on the face of the earth. What did he learn finally over a long period of time? Okay, God, your way. That's what he had to learn. What is it that Joshua is going to be helping us understand? What does it look like when a man ends up trusting God fully in the midst of difficult tasks that are before him? What does it look like? It looks like the book of Joshua, which is why we're going to be spending some time studying it. Outline that we're just going to look at, we're going to talk about chapters 1 through 12, a conquest that's going to go on, 13 through 22. We're going to look at each of the tribes uniquely and things going on. And 23 and 24, don't miss that. We want to be here as we end up looking at Joshua reminding the children of Israel of all that they have gone through and God's faithfulness. When I was a young believer, there was a book that got onto my shelf. I can't even tell you how I got it. I think somebody gave it to me. Alan Redpath at one time. How many know that name? Interesting. A former pastor of Moody Church. Okay? So Alan Redpath used to be in the Chicago area, just downtown. But he wrote a commentary on the book of Joshua, and it is entitled, help me here, Victorious Christian Living. Why? Because there are principles in the book of Joshua that practically can be able to help us, that we would be able to find how do I find the ability to find victory practically in the midst of my life? And Alan Redpath really felt, and he's influenced many other people, that there are principles in this book that can help us to be able to come to grips with that. And we will be focusing on that as well. So it's just important to realize principles for finding victory in our life. And I'm going to give you a hint of something it's pretty basic, but it's Joshua is very theocentric. What's that mean? God-centered. And you know what happened if you and I, in 2020, committed ourselves to be God-centered? Well, I just happen to believe that we could find victory in our lives as well. Is that, can you believe that? Pastor would end up saying that publicly? Yeah, I believe it. What about you? Huh? Do you believe that God's bigger than the things that we are going through? We're going to end up going through some things, by the way, that you and I would look at and go, you got to be kidding me. What do you do here? Jordan River at flood stage, and you've got this huge people of Israel with all of their children, with all of their cattle, with all their sheep. What are you going to do? And it's a moment when Joshua led the people to be trusting God, to be putting God first. And we see, or we will see, what it is that happened there. Read this, and I just want to share with you, can't even give you who said it. No one attains to true spiritual leadership who thinks his or her power is his own, or that past victories are due to their own abilities. No one attains to true spiritual leadership who puts the spotlight on themselves. What Joshua does, I know I'm being overly simplistic, but this is very important. It's about God. He's in the very center. And even when there's a very small group that need to be taken, a small city, AI, we don't need that many people, it'll all go fine. When things weren't right with God, things didn't go right in life. Several passages I want to go to before I even make mention of what you're looking at. Go back with me to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12, chapters 1 through 11, core doctrine, important things that are happening, revelation about God and who he is and about man and their weaknesses and problems. Chapter 12, the Lord said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house, to a land I will show you. Where was he going to take him? To a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Okay, got it? Now, go down to verse 7, and it says this. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your descendants, I will give this land. I want you to go a couple chapters later to chapter 15 in the book of Genesis. And I want you to look at verse 18. There had been a covenant that was cut in chapter 15. We'll not go through all of that now, but the result of it was, verse 18, on the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, to your descendants, I have given this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates, the Kenites, the Kenzanites, and the Kadmonites, and the Hittites, and the Perizzites, the Rephaim, and the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Girgashites, and the Jebusites. What he's saying is, the land that they currently are dwelling in, I'm giving it to you. God making a promise. Back in Exodus, he makes reference to something that he said, but we're going back to Genesis and seeing here's the promise that was made, to Abraham that is going to be fulfilled. Book of Deuteronomy, chapter 1. These are the words. I'm in Deuteronomy chapter 1, starting at verse 1. Oh, I'm going to slip through a couple of verses here. These are the words which Moses spoke to all Israel on this side of the Jordan in the wilderness in the plain opposite Suth. And he goes on and describes it. He says, verse 3, "Now it came to pass in the 40th year, in the 11th month, on the first day of the month, Moses spoke to the children of Israel." So the book of Deuteronomy is written 1 month before they're going to go into the promised land. 39 years and 11 months they have been there in the land. What have they been looking to know what to be able to do? Well, you say Moses, and I will agree that humanly Moses was God's representative. During the day, there was a cloud, and at night, it was a pillar of fire, and it was called the Shekinah glory. And if it moved, you moved. You say, I'm just putting the last tent peg. Come on, I want to stay here for a while. If it moves, you move. If it stays for a month, you stay for a month. You say, okay, what's going to happen tomorrow? You don't know yet. God wants you to trust him daily. We want to know everything that's going to happen. Sometimes God doesn't tell us. Nothing's changed. That's how he was working with them during the time in the wilderness. But now the book of Deuteronomy ends up being written, and it's the last month. Why is it being written? Because everybody who's still there wasn't there at the beginning, except for Joshua and Caleb and Moses, and Moses isn't going to make it. So Deuteronomy is being able to go over what has already been said so that they would understand what is being said and be able to know it. And so he ends up saying, verse 5, pick it up there. "On this side of the Jordan in the land of Moab, Moses began to explain this law, saying, 'The Lord our God spoke to us in Horeb,'" that's Mount Sinai, "'saying, you have dwelt long enough at this mountain. Turn and take our journey and go to the mountains of the Amorites, to all the neighboring places in the plain and the mountains and the lowland, in the south and the seacoast, the land of the Canaanites, and to Lebanon as far as the great river, the river Euphrates.'" Verse 8, "See, I have set the land before you. Go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give to them and their descendants after them." You with me? So what we are finding is that they are being told, hey, you know what? Quite a long time ago, Abraham was given a promise by God, and it was reiterated, and Isaac knew it, and Jacob knew it, and I want you to know it because the promise is yours, and it's about the land. And so it takes us to just the book that we're starting in, Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1, starting at verse 1, where it says this, "After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, 'Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread, I have given to you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, to the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you." You say, wait, that's Hebrews 13. Yes, it is, but it's also in Deuteronomy chapter 1. How about that? So we find God's promise in the Old Testament saying, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." And we are reminded of God's promise in the New Testament where he says, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." To those who are his, his promises go. Now, what I've got up here on the screen, Joshua chapter 23, verse 14. Know that in all your hearts and all your souls, not one thing has failed of all the good things which the Lord your God promised concerning you. God keeps his promises. Amen. Why is the book of Joshua there? Because it's important to me, and it's important to you to know that the God of the Bible says what he says and means what he says and carries out what he says. Do I need to know what he says? You bet. I need to know what he says in his word. I need to have a learning spirit. God, help me to know your word and understand what you say. All have come to pass for you. Not one thing of them has failed. I'm convinced that our study can strengthen and build our faith as we rely upon our God. But it's Old Testament, Pastor. God doesn't change. You with me? That's going to be our emphasis as we spend time together. What are we going to find? We're going to find that as they move into the land, it's not that, you know, they need to build houses and they need to begin being able to plant seed. They're going to move in such a way where God is going to be taking the people out of the land, and his plans, his judgment on them, you and I don't have all the information on, okay? But know this, God knows what he's doing, and God is a righteous and loving God. But there's judgment that comes on individuals who've rejected him. Joshua and his people are going to come into the land, and they're going to end up coming at times to a place where hornets came into the village, into the city. And anybody ever been stung by a hornet? I'm guessing you remember it. Hornets are going to go before them at times, and they're going to leave. Or God's going to use their faith, and the army's going to come in. That they've been in the wilderness for 40 years. Are they tough and ready to be able to fight against anybody? Do they know weapons well? No. They're sheep herders. And they're farmers, but they're going to depend on God. And Joshua is going to be a model for the people of strength and courage. Those are Old Testament characteristics, aren't they? That they don't have anything to do with the New Testament, right? You say, no. You know what? I look around at 2020 and I say, you know what is desperately needed in our days? Men and women of strength and courage and integrity who are able to depend upon their God. Tell me Joshua's not a book for right now, huh? We're going to begin being able to go through it. And our chapter, verse, we're going to be doing that and spending time. And we're going to be looking at God. But yes, we're going to be looking at a Joshua. Joshua was a faithful man. Boy, I look through the scriptures and I find a lot of people who really fall on their face. And you don't always find people who stay the course and truly are faithful. Well, guess what? There are some of those kinds of people, and one of them is Joshua. And Joshua comes to the end of his life, and if the Lord tarries, we'll study this in more depth, and he ends up saying this, "Choose you this day whom you will serve." Paraphrase. Get off the fence. Live for God, or live for all these other gods and yourself. But stop playing this game of trying to be on the fence. And then he finished with this. You do what you're going to do. But as for me and my house, come on, we will serve the Lord. Oh, brother and sister in Christ, I'm convinced with all of my heart that while all of Scripture is beneficial and there's reasons why any portion of Scripture would be worthwhile to be able to cover, there's a reason for this period of time that we would be going through this book. Hope you're able to be here. I hope you're able to have a learning spirit rather than assuming, I already read this, I already know all this stuff. May God continue to drive us to our knees where we depend upon Him and He helps us and strengthens us and uses us to be men and women of faithfulness, courage, with a willingness to follow Him. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, I come before You with my family here in Christ. And I pray, Lord, that You would help us during this series, that we would be allowing this portion of Scripture to encourage us toward loyalty, toward a faithfulness to You, our God. That we would begin looking at life through a Christ-centered lens and to see You at the center of it all. Lord, we need You, and we pray that You would meet with us in these times and help us, and as the end result of all of that, that, Lord God, we would be Your followers, that we would know it, our families would know it, and others around us would know it. Thank You. Thank You that the book of Joshua is not make-believe, but there was a time when You, a faithful God, worked through a man who was willing to lead a group of people and be faithful. And miraculous things were able to take place as the result of who You are. Oh, Father, we get discouraged in the days that we're living, in the culture that we're living, with the struggles that we're living. I pray that You would help us and show us victory, and that our eyes truly would be on You. And that on a daily basis, rather than looking to our strength and our abilities and our wisdom, that we would seek Your grace. And we would find Your grace sufficient for the day. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Bob Sheridan. Pastor Bob Sheridan and Palos Bible Church reserve all copyright protections under applicable law. For more information, please visit palosbiblechurch.com.